coaches. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, they can't hold a flame against you, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, got the game, it ain't no issue, yeah. Blowing the whistle, I had enough with you, the championship, it is gone. Ain't listen to you, I can't give it to you, cause you don't know what I've been on. This is the Coaches Podcast, ripping up everything off that.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back into the Fantasy Coaches Podcast. I am your host, as always, Coach Steve. On today's episode, guys, we have a really fun episode going on today, guys. We have pretty much most of the staff of the Fantasy Coaches jumping on to give their coaches faves. It's kind of what we'll call in this episode. Our guys that we're targeting in this year's 2021 drafts. We're going to have about 12 of us or so on tonight. And we'll basically, what we're going to do is basically just give one player in the top eight rounds and give one player in the bottom eight rounds, you know, regular PPR, half point PPR, whatever, you know, redraft kind of seasonal league, whatever you like to call it here. And we're kind of just going to go through the motions. We got a lot of new faces to come on to the Fantasy Coaches that you're going to hopefully see this coming season. So we're going to get right to it. As always, let me introduce my co-host, Coach Jibs, man. What's going on, buddy?
I'm just the old face of...
Yeah, you're nothing special at this point, my guy. No, I'm just kidding. Now you're the heart and soul. You're the heart and soul of the team, bro. But yeah, Jibs, it's gonna be fun. Got anything you want to say before we get started?
Redraft season is upon us. Prepare yourself.
Yes, redraft is coming. All right, guys. So let's get to the rest of the crew here. Some familiar faces we'll start with here first. First, Coach Rob as he sneezes real quick. What's going on, Rob?
How you doing? Happy to jump in and contribute. Just spent a long weekend in Nashville hooting and hollering with the fellas, so don't have much voice here. So
that's okay. That's okay. No big deal. I got Coach Justin in the building here. He was just on recently. What's going on, Justin?
What's going on, guys? Yeah, second time on here, so I'm real excited.
Love it. Love to hear that, man. I like the jersey, man. Is that Fields?
Yeah, I came in last week, Justin Fields. Took a hard hit last game, dude. Scared me, but hopefully he's everything and more.
Awesome. And I love to hear that, man. All right. And then we got a couple new faces, guys. Guys you haven't seen on the podcast just yet, but hopefully at some point they're going to be household names like Justin and Rob here. And we'll start with Coach Tom here. Tom, what's going on, man?
Not much. How are you doing tonight?
Good, good. Welcome into the first show of the Fantasy Coaches for you.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then we have our next one here, Coach Dylan. What's going on, Dylan?
What's up, man? How you been?
How's everything hanging?
Not too bad, not too bad. Glad to be here. First podcast for you guys.
You excited, man?
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's go. All right, guys. So we're not going to get into the news too much today because we got a lot of the things to go through, and we have more people coming on in next 30 minutes here. So if we don't cover anything news wise, we will cover it on our Wednesday show, guys. So tune in for that. So like I said, basically, guys, we're doing our coaches faves, basically guys that we're targeting in our redrafts this coming season here, that we kind of just want to tell you those are our favorite guys and you should, and why they are and why you should target them in your coming draft. So we're going to start with the top eight rounds and then the normal 12 man league.
My first pick, sophomore year, Clyde Edwards-Helaire for me. I really am a big fan of CEH. I really liked him last year. Unfortunately, it was not the season everyone expected, right? Last season, he was going in the tail end of the first round of PPR leagues. Everyone thought he was going to be a big breakthrough bust. And he kind of was, right? Like, first 7 weeks, he was a top 10 RB. He got hurt for a week. Chiefs signed Le'Veon Bell. And right after that, he went downhill. Really didn't see anything else the rest of the season. With Le'Veon gone, I really like Clyde. I think that's going to open up a lot of opportunities for him. And with this high – it's a passing offense. You know, everyone knows that. But when we see the Chiefs play – a lot of field, a lot of green for Clyde to run, and I really think he can do that this year. I mean, dude's only 22. He's young. He's got a whole career ahead of him, and I think this year he can easily be in a 1,000-yard rusher, 200 carries, definitely more touchdowns than last year. I don't know if you guys remember, but he had been stomped at the 1 yard line at least 4 or 5 times. Apparently he's put on weight, put on muscle. So I'm really excited for Clyde. His ADP is about the 2nd round. He's listed as the 14th overall running back on Fantasy Pros. So you can find them around the 2nd round, guys. I really am a big fan of Clyde.
And I, too, can agree with that. Honestly, I've been drafting Clyde Edwards. But, he gave us a recent scare over the weekend here with his injury. It's not a high ankle sprain, thank God. But, they didn't disclose it as something that it's not going to have an impact on him this coming season here. Has that pushed you down on him a little bit more? Are you still comfortable taking him in the round 2? Or is it more of a round 3 value where you like him at?
I'm still taking him. He's definitely someone that will, and you can see him in the 3rd round. I had a draft yesterday, 12-man league, and I had the 1st overall pick, so I picked him on that 2-3 wrap right there. So obviously I'm still feeling confident about him. It's great to hear. It's nothing too serious, of course. Doesn't really scare me. I really like him this year, and I think CEH is going to have a hell of a season.
All right. I can't complain with that. CH is definitely going to be in for something big, hopefully. And Coach Justin is, that's one of his guys. So on to our next guy here. Let's see who's going to go next. Coach Dylan, you have the floor now, my friend. Who is your top 8 round guy?
My guy is Najee Harris. I went with another running back. I had written an article previously in the year about him being a top 8 back in PPR. It still rings true. He's just going to get so much work in the Pittsburgh offense. I mean, there's not any competition, I feel like. McFarland and Snell aren't really a big issue for him. Really, the only issue that I saw early was the offensive line, but through the first couple of preseason games, they've looked actually pretty good for him. So I don't see that being an issue anymore. Right now, I've got him as projected at 1,200 yards, 8 rushing touchdowns on 266 attempts, and then 57 receptions for another 430 yards and 2 receiving touchdowns. So I just think he's going to be the next top big rookie running back. So,
yes, Najee Harris, man, the man's a beast for sure. And how early are you willing to take him in your drafts this year? Is he 1st round? Is he borderline there, or is it it's a 2nd round thing for you?
It's borderline 1st, early 2nd. Right now, I'd take the top probably 5 backs: McCaffrey, Barkley, who else? Cook. I'd take Eckler ahead of him in PPR, and probably Ezekiel Elliott above him just because of the workload there. But other than that, I mean, you might throw Henry in there, but he's gonna be a top 10 back for sure.
Okay. I like it. Does his value change for you in terms of like a standard or half point PPR, or is it you're pretty much across the board? If you're going to get Najee Harris, you're going to get him.
It's pretty much I'm going to get him. I mean, it goes down a little bit in standard just because, I mean, I don't know how well Pittsburgh offense is going to run still, but I do believe that because he's going to get so much work in there, it's going to be a shoo-in for top 10 running back no matter what.
All right, I like it. Najee Harris, an up-and-coming young guy who Coach Dylan is saying go get him now because he's going to explode for this season, and if you play Dynasty, hopefully for many more seasons to come. So, all right. And on to our next coach here. Coach Rob, your mic is on, so you're on next, my friend. Who do we got as your top 8 round guy?
Okay, so let me just preface this by saying I was a huge Cam Akers guy. I had him across every format of Dynasty that I could get him. But last year, I also was in on Daryl Henderson. Daryl Henderson, what are we going to call him? By the way, you're going to call him the RB1 out in L.A., okay? The dude, he can catch the ball some. He's got good nose for the end zone. He averaged, almost 7-8 yards a carry in college? I mean, Memphis has been cranking out some decent backs the last few years, and there's really nothing behind him right now, okay? So you got Jake Funk, who's getting a little bit of love, and Xavier Jones as well, and that's good. I think that's good because that could – prevent them, or not prevent them, but dissuade them from picking up one of those cut down guys to come in and vulture into Henderson's workload, which they may do. They still may do. But as of right now, today's date, like, my big draft is next week. And if they haven't added anyone, I'm all in on Henderson. All in on Henderson.
All right. I do like that. I had him a lot in my dynasty leagues. He was a guy who was always just there as a handcuff. But now that he sees a starting role, his value is obviously shooting up big time here. I did find out today, though, he left with a little bit of a wrist injury. Early news about a couple hours ago. But, you know, in terms of Henderson, Rob, you know, are you taking him over guys like, is he someone you're taking over maybe J.K. Dobbins or maybe David Montgomery? Are you taking him over those guys, or is he just in that range still that you're considering it in the right round?
Again, right now I would take him ahead of both, only because they're not going to run Montgomery into the ground like they did last year. That's why they got Damien Williams, and that's also why they drafted Khalil Herbert. Who was the other? Oh, Dobbins. I have an Ohio State bias, okay? Just putting that out there. And the fact that, you know, they just paid a buttload of money to Gus Edwards, and you're still going to get vultured from Lamar Jackson. Dobbins is good. I don't want to be a hater or anything, but just as far as opportunity and volume, I'm really liking Henderson.
All right. I like your take there. I won't ask you any more questions because Henderson is a key factor for this coming season. And what round? Do you happen to have round he's going in currently?
Well, he's the 19th, according to Fantasy Pros, he's the 19th running back off the board, which is just insanely low to me. So if you can name me, I don't know, you could probably name me 10 better, but between 10 and 19, name me anyone that's going to get the carries at the age and has the upside on a really, really good team.
That is 100% true. We all liked Cam Akers early on. A lot of people did as a top 10 back. There's no reason why Darrell Henderson can't be at least a top 15 back this coming season here. So, Coach Rob, I love that there. And who's on the board next here? Coach Tom, you're first up, my friend. Who's your top 8-round guy you got?
This year, I love Terry McLaurin from the Washington football team. He's in a great spot. He's been there. He was thrust into the WR1 spot like right out of college, and he's handled it without a quarterback. I mean, well, nobody that you would consider a top flight NFL quarterback. Last year he put up 1,100 yards with third stringers. Now he gets Ryan Fitzpatrick, who loves throwing to his wide receiver one. He's had 10 seasons with 10 or more starts. His number one average is at least 128 targets. And he hit Brandon Marshall for 173 the year they were with the Jets together. So I'm looking at Fitzpatrick to just load him up with targets. I'm seeing maybe like 1,500 yards out of him or so. And the other thing that he has going for him is Washington has enough talent around him where defenses aren't really going to be able to double team him. They've got Logan Thomas. They've got Antonio Gibson, Curtis Samuel, Dyami Brown, Humphrey Sims. So defenses have to play honest. They can't fade out because Washington will kill them with the run. And if they try to stop the run, I think McLaurin runs free. Oh,
now, you mentioned all those weapons there. Does that doesn't concern you at all about maybe him not seeing the target share that he might have saw the first two seasons of his career?
Not really, because they're fairly talented guys, but they're not Terry McLaurin talent. They're talent that defenses have to be honest with. They can't fade. I mean, they can't lay off of everybody and leave like Samuel or Gibson or Logan Thomas one-on-one. So they're pretty much forcing, they're either zoning them or just going one-on-one and hope it all goes well.
All right. I like it. Obviously, I've always been a big fan of Terry McLaurin myself. So see, people have agreed with you throughout your conversation there. So, yeah, guys, Terry McLaurin, Coach Tom's telling you'll get him, and you'll go get him right now, guys, if you're drafting him this year. All right. And Coach Jibs, my friend, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how are you?
Good, man. It's a long time no talk today, man. What's going on, man?
It's all good, dude. I'm loving all your picks so far. Like, these are players I absolutely adore. in fantasy. Like, but for me, I'm gonna go with Keenan Allen, and I feel like he's finally getting some recognition that he deserves. Like, last couple of years, you've been religiously drafting him in the third and fourth round in redraft leagues, and I think he's adequately priced this year. He's going ADP pick 28. So if I'm a guy who wants to go get me the running backs early, those two elite running backs, say I start with Zeke and Najee Harris, and then somehow Keenan Allen falls to me, that's the perfect wide receiver one I would love to have on my team starting off the bat. He's shooing for like 140 targets a year, basically. And then you know he's going to get you close to 100 receptions and then 1,000 yards. And he had at least six touchdowns the last 4 years. So I think he's a perfect guy to just kind of fall back on, especially if you're getting, I guess, within like that top four range coming in redraft leagues this summer. So I love Keenan Allen, and he probably could have even had a more stellar season last year. He missed two games, and I know injury's been like kind of the thing with him early on, but this guy's been a monster over the last couple of years. So
no, I can't disagree with you more. I mean, him finally being able to be healthy over the last few seasons now have really, really turned him to a fantasy elite star. But Jibs, you know, I'm going to ask you a question, my friend, today. But, you know, he's so talented. He's obviously attached to, you know, Justin Herbert right now, up and coming young quarterback here. Could you possibly put him in the range of those guys like DK Metcalf, Justin Jefferson, AJ Brown, who all have a second wide receiver there to kind of maybe keep them in check, while Keenan Allen, we know, really doesn't have that second threat outside of Austin Eckler?
I'm glad you asked me this, because it's been a conundrum for me, because like I've been like doing mock drafts with a couple friends, and I get to that like certain spot, like I guess around like pick 18 through 20, and I'm just looking at the receivers left, and like I can make a case for DK Metcalf, yeah, I can make a case for AJ Brown, but I just know Keenan Allen's a Mr. Reliable. He's not going to get as many touchdowns as those guys, but for week to week and the consistency, I know what I'm going to get out of him. But it's a toss-up. Like, it makes me kind of turn. Like, it's a very hard pick coming up in a couple weeks for me.
Yeah, no, I definitely don't disagree with you whatsoever. Keenan Allen, he's a heck of a guy, and as long as he can stay healthy, he should be poised for another big season in 2021. Going over, and I keep forgetting to change this thing here. Sorry, Jibs and Rob, because I did not change it for either one of you two when I did this. I apologize. It's just the bottom guys who get it. And of course, me now. Make sure I'll do it next time around. But my guy, guys, I'm going for is Bob Woods. And Bob Woods has been a favorite of mine over the last couple of seasons now. I know Coach Jibs loves him. I know some of the guys in here have mentioned him before. This coming season, guys, if you're looking for a consistent target that you don't have to, you're not reaching for, it's Bob Woods. I mean, a guy who is going in round five of a lot of drafts right now that, listen, you take your running backs early this year. You know, you get those out of the way. You know the dead zone is at 3 to 5 range right now in fantasy drafts. And honestly, you could honestly get yourself running back set up. You could get yourself a top-tier tight end or go the quarterback route if you could prefer that. And you could honestly have Bob Woods as your wide receiver one this coming season. He's getting an upgrade at the quarterback position. He's going to see probably more downfield targets. And the likelihood that, I know it's kind of stepping on Coach Rob's Darrell Henderson take, but they might not run as many rushing touchdowns as you saw last year. They may throw the ball because they have the quarterback to do so, and Bob Woods could see more red zone opportunities. We already know he has a great rushing floor of 115 rushing yards the last three seasons now. The touchdowns have been up and down, but with a guy like Matthew Stafford, who's elevated his wide receivers over his entire career, it should be a no-brainer that Bob Woods is a guy you're getting as your wide receiver one, a wide receiver two. If you get him as your wide receiver three, you're sitting golden. But, I mean, he can literally be any one of those wide receivers for you and be a top-tier talent. He's a borderline wide receiver one, and he's definitely someone that you need to target this coming season. You know, he's older, so he's not a guy who was just – breaking out or anything like that, but he could end up having his best season yet now in this new offense here, who seems to be ready to rock and roll with Matthew Stafford behind the helm now. Bob Woods is the guy for you guys this year. He's one of my favorites and someone I'm definitely targeting every which way.
Are you opposed to taking the alternative route and like getting Cooper Kupp maybe one, I guess, half a round later if need be?
If need be, absolutely. And it really depends on obviously what your draft is. And the thing with Cooper Kupp is his injury history. He's been injured at times in his career here, not as many, as much as Bob Woods. So to me, it's just an injury thing. I'd rather take the surefire consistent option than the up and down we've seen in Cooper Kupp at times. Even though Cooper Kupp has tremendous talent, he's just kind of a little too inconsistent for me. So I'd rather take Bob Woods, and that's what I'm kind of sticking with this year, guys.
Love it.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Back onto the top now. Coach Justin, you're back again. We're switching some things up here, guys. And now we're talking about the bottom eight. These are like the rounds 9 through double digits, guys that we're targeting that we love this year. Coach Justin, who's your guy?
Yeah, first I want to say great, great first round, the guys, for everyone. I loved everyone's picks and players. Great, loved them. Now I'm not completely changing it up, still staying in Kansas City. I really like Mecole Hardman. You know, this was a big name, I would say, last year before the season started. Everyone thought that he was going to break out, be unbelievable, and we didn't really see that. He had a really poor season. Obviously, now I feel like with Sammy Watkins gone, it's going to open a lot of doors for him. Sammy didn't really have too many targets to begin with, but it obviously opens a door, and it's putting Hardman at the starting spot opposite side of Tyreek Hill. He's the third option on his team, obviously behind Kelce and Tyreek. But the thing about him is I think he's going to get a lot of yards. So PPR might not be the best move, but he's going to get a lot of yards. I think he's a potential 1,000-yard receiver, someone that you can get, I think, his ADP's 13th round, 14th round. He's 133 on Fantasy Pros, so that's about 13th, 14th round area. He's very well vertical threat, young player, and I think we're going to see a lot of him this year. You're going to hear his name. I'm worried about his touchdowns. That's the only little white spot that I'm a little yikes about, but I think his receptions will be there. I think his targets will be there, and his yards will definitely be there. He is someone that you could have off the bench that can spark out and really break through, be a flex, maybe a 3-wide spot for you if you got 3 wide receiver leagues. Sky's the limit for Mecole this year, and I really like him. Someone you can get late for sure.
Okay. I like that take a lot there. I know I've never been the biggest Mecole Hardman fan. I know Coach Gibbs has been a all-time favorite. Yes, big Hardman fan there. It doesn't concern you at all that he hasn't took that next step yet through his career, or is it just because now that there's no Sammy Watkins, it's now his time to take that step there?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both, right? I mean, he's still very young, 24 years old, very fast, and he's got great hands. The thing is, with Patrick Mahomes, right, he loves to spread the ball. He does, and he has two of the best receiving options in the game. So, obviously, Mecole won't be that one or two option. But, yes, with Sammy Watkins gone, that opens up 60, 70 more targets. I forgot what Sammy had last year. I think only 60. He didn't have that well of a season, but opens up all those looks for Mecole. So, yes, I do like him. Doesn't scare me at all.
All right. I like it. I definitely don't hate that whatsoever. I mean, it's his time to shine now. There's no more Sammy Watkins. He should be the next guy up. There's other guys there who are just a guy, and Mecole Hardman has the speed and talent to make that next step. It's just, if it happens, it's going to be this year. So,
yes,
Coach Justin, I love that take there. All right. And heading over to our next one here, Coach Dylan, you're back up, my friend. Who's your bottom eight guy?
My guy's Noah Fant. He's currently going 94th overall. He's had a jump in the last couple days. He was going about 97th, 98th overall. He's in that third-year tight end option there. That's usually a breakout year. Over the last 2 years, he's either led the team or been second on the team in red zone targets for the team. Whether it's Locke or Bridgewater, I know that's a big issue right now, but whether it's Locke or Bridgewater, he's going to have better quarterback play than he's had really the last 2 years, I think. I kind of go back and forth with him for Logan Thomas. I just think that Locke's going to get – I just think that Fant's going to get peppered with targets right there. Right now, I think he's better ADP value than Pitts at 57th, Hawkinson at 64th, Andrews at 65th, and Goddard at 89th. I think that they all have a chance to finish right around the same fantasy points. So I would much rather have the guy that's going 94th overall, so I can load up on wide receiver and running back talent early in the draft and still get a really productive tight end later. So
yeah, absolutely. And he's still developing as a tight end currently right now. And there's no concerns about the other talent kind of coming in or coming back this coming season here. You know, he didn't really take that next step when they weren't there. Do you think it's better for him to have that, those other options there to help open the field up for him?
I do. The defense won't be focused primarily on him. I know that they had Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler there, Tim Patrick, but I think Cortland Sutton coming back is going to take some attention off of him by with the defense, which would open up more field for him to get more receptions.
All right, and then which quarterback you think it would be better for him, Locke or Bridgewater?
Probably Bridgewater. He's safer than Locke, so tight ends are usually the shorter routes and checkdowns. So I think that Bridgewater will be safer than Locke, who's going to try to force the ball into his receivers deep.
Okay. Like I said, Font has a real opportunity to really take that next step this year. Hopefully the weapons coming in there can help him make that next jump here that, you know, we're all seeing in a guy like Hawkinson, who is in the same draft class and teammate back at college here. So Coach Dillon's Noah Font, to wait on the tight end, take him. He's a tremendous talent. So all right here, who do we got next on the board here? Coach Rob, you're back up, my friend. Just unmute here. Maybe we'll do it at the same time. There we go.
If we can circle back around real quick, Darrell Henderson finished the practice session, so I don't think it's any major sort of injury. Considering the, you know, their lack of depth there, I would think if he were, you know, any sort of serious injury, he wouldn't have been back out there. But I just want to throw that out because I did not hear about that injury until you told me, and I just had to look it up. So because I've been driving all day. But anyway, anywho, let's get around to my wide receiver, and I know at his current ADP of 82, that's not really the back end, but it's close, and the reason I throw him out there is Tyler Boyd. He's going to be third Cincinnati wide receiver drafted, and I don't understand why. I do understand that Higgins had a great year last year, and Chase is a sexy pick, but you got a second-year quarterback with a questionable at best offensive line, and then you have a crafty veteran knows how to get open underneath, knows how to find those little spots, a la T.J. Houshmandzadeh back in the day, and Tyler Boyd. And a young quarterback's best friend can be that safety guy. And Tyler Boyd, he could be that safety guy. I'm personally going to project Chase to have the most touchdowns this year, Higgins to have the most yards, and Boyd to have the most catches. So based on your format, I mean, pick your poison. It's going to be good. That's my feeling. As you can see, that's my team. So it's got to be good. But for me, considering the value, I would go with Boyd.
All right. I don't mind you cheating there a little bit because Tyler Boyd is obviously an amazing athlete and an amazing fantasy wide receiver that he's being very much undervalued right now, especially because everyone loves Chase and Higgins right now. Boyd seems to be the odd man out to a lot of fantasy experts and fantasy lovers out there alike. So I love that you brought up Tyler Boyd. I think he needs to be mentioned more than often here because he could provide fantastic value that he's just being so overlooked right now in fantasy. So Coach Rob,
yeah, take him as your wide receiver three and just, you know, go all with that. That's sweet spot.
I'd be thrilled with that. I can't lie to you. All right. All right. Our next one here, Coach Tom, you are back up, my friend. Who do we got here with your pick?
Okay, I'm going with Amon-Ra St. Brown from Detroit. I think he landed in the perfect spot for him because they don't have an established one. You know, they have guys that are okay. You know, his biggest competition for targets is going to be Hawkinson. And that's understandable. Hawkinson is a beast. But, I mean, Amon-Ra brings a lot to the table. He's not necessarily exceptionally explosive, but he's really good at avoiding tackles after the catch and making space. He's also really good at tracking the ball and high pointing it, and he runs excellent fades in the end zone, so there's serious touchdown potential there. like I said, not exceptionally fast. He is really strong. And I'm kind of seeing him, Jared Goff, using him the way he used Cooper Kupp as a security blanket underneath. Amon-Ra is pretty really good in the slot. And he should be a really nice, safe target for him that can do stuff with the ball after he catches it.
I love that. You know, Amon St. Brown was definitely a player who, you know, he fell in drafts a little bit, but he fell into the perfect situation for him this year. I mean, he's getting a ton of offseason hype right now. The coaches love him in there in Detroit right now, and he's ready to make his mark here this coming season here. Coach Tom, you know, but is he going to see early on success? Do you believe he sees week one success, or he's going to be someone that might take a few weeks and not let fantasy owners kind of get frustrated by drafting him, but to kind of hold hope that he's going to make that next level? Or are you expecting him out of the gate? He's playing, he's being a fantasy star.
Well, the beauty of it is you can steal him. He's like a last round pick, but he's going to start week one. And he may not, you know, light it up out of the gate the first couple of weeks, but he's really lighting it up in camp, which is a good indicator that he should be fine a couple of weeks into the season, if not a little sooner.
All right. I like that. I like that a lot, that honestly. I mean, someone has to catch the ball in Detroit, and his talent can outbeat some of the guys who've been there. You know, Terrell Williams is injury prone. Rashard Perryman is injury prone. You know, outside of Hockenson, I mean, there's catches need to be made, and Amon St. Brown is that talented to be able to do so. So, Tom, I love that take. So,
thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's see. Coach Jibs, my friend, you're back, my guy.
Already? Boo. All right. My late round gem is going to be relatively in that Mecole Hardman range, but it's Russell Gage. And historically, the Falcons offense has produced two wide receiver commodities, like a high end and then a middle end wide receiver three-ish, like a la Mohamed Sanu. But with the departure of Julio Jones, Gage finally has a shot to play like a full-time role besides Calvin Ridley outside. So obviously none of us are projecting him to be a stud this year because we're getting him in round 13, 14, basically your last picks in your draft. But there's something to be had there. I know it's not an upside play, but like just to get a guy that you know, like Matt Ryan, for example, historically has thrown 600 passes per year. If you do 15% of that, his target share was 17%, that's at least 90 targets. So I know I'm getting a wide receiver who could get 90 targets in round 14, 15, which is absolutely, like, I think is a kind of a steal on value. So I think it's something to be had there. And, like, he finished as a basically almost a wide receiver three last year. So, like, I'm not saying he's going to be a wide receiver two by any means, but he could probably provide good flex play or basically be a bench receiver if you're in a three wide receiver league.
All right. I like that a lot there. Do you expect him to be the number two guy there, or is he going to be the three there?
Like in like target, like share, like I think it's going to go like Calvin Ridley, Pitts, then Gage. Like obviously I think Hayden Hurst is going to take a chop down in targets. Maybe like OZ gets a little bit more, but I think he's going to be a main stay in the offense. Look, like preseason, he hasn't played a snap in preseason. Like he's treating him like a starter. So I think he's going to be a guy this year.
Okay. Okay. I like that. You've been hyping up Russell Gage lately. So I see what you got.
He's my guy there.
No, you definitely have. You've mentioned him a couple of times now on the pod. You know, thank God we have like 20 leagues together that I can snipe him from you. So we'll see how that works though. But no, I won't do that to you because, my next guy, if he's sitting there and they're sitting there together at the same round, which they might not be, but if they are, I'm going to be excited to want to get him. And my guy is Mike Gesicki here, and I'm not trying to be a biased Dolphins fan. This is not what I'm trying to do whatsoever. I'm just trying to pick something away from the wide receivers here outside of the quarterback situations because, you know, it depends on what you're playing. I mean, they're just kind of what they are, honestly, at the moment. So let me just finish writing this right quick. All right, there we go. So I chose Mike Gesicki, guys. And the reason why I'm actually starting to gain some more confidence in Mike Gesicki. I was kind of fading him slightly because of all the weapons, you know, just you know, what I've been hearing slightly about Mike Gesicki as overall, you know, bringing in, you know, they're drafting Hunter Long, the tight end situation last year when they mixed it up so off frequently last year, kind of just turned me off slightly on a guy like Mike Gesicki, even though he's a New Jersey born guy, just like me and Jibs over here. But, you know, started looking at his numbers, started looking at what his situation's like. For one, the games he played with Tua last year, on a 16-game pace, he was close to 100 targets, 70 receptions, 800 yards, and 8 touchdowns. That would have probably put him somewhere close to a top 5 tight end last season. And you're getting him right now currently in those double-digit rounds. And the next part is, you know, what? Look at the situation he's in right now. He's in Miami, a team that's looking to take the next step with Tua, hopefully being able to air the ball out. What have you seen the last two games so far with Mike Gesicki? He's caught a 40-yard pass, a 50-yard pass. So they're trying to get him the ball in the middle of the field, and Tua is connecting with him, and they have some chemistry building right now. And what are teammates like? Well, he's got Will Fuller, a guy who suspended week one, a guy who often is injured and has to play on an outdoor field. This isn't a Will Fuller talk, but then you have Devontae Parker, who's had one season being able to play 16 games. Outside of that, he's missed games consistently throughout his entire career. Preston Williams, a guy I've always had to care for, he can't stay healthy either. Jalen Waddle, I love Jalen Waddle a lot, but we just saw him get hurt this weekend, and he's had injury concerns his final year in college. So Mike Gesicki has been a guy who's been able to stay on the field outside of catching COVID early at some point this last season. And I think that he is a guy that he's being very much overlooked right now because his name isn't, and he hasn't done that big season that everyone's looking for the next tight end here. He's going later in drafts and just being so overlooked that I think he needs to be a guy you're going for right now. And if you're waiting on the tight end position, if you don't get the top three guys, just wait and get Mike Gesicki, and he's going to show you what kind of season he's able to have this coming year. So he is my second fave guy here. So, and we're coming down to the half hour. We're actually past the half hour at this point now, guys. I'm assuming the rest of our team may be here. I don't know yet. They might be having some technical difficulties, but that's okay. So we're going to introduce a guy who's just been sitting in the waiting room for about 10 minutes now. Coach Brandon. There he is. What's up, Coach Brandon? How you doing, man?
What's going on?
Good, man. What's going on?
If I like grimace a few times, I did something to my ribs, and it only hurts when I breathe. So not that.
Well, that's not good, man. You might. When you get you the 911 call, man.
Yeah, apparently.
Oh God, no. Well, but just be careful over there, brother. So you're the only one in the second half of the pod right now that's supposed to be coming on. So we'll let you go here. Who's your top 8-round guy that you have?
Okay, I've got Antonio Gibson as the guy that if I played redraft, I'd be drafting him everywhere. He's one of my favorite running backs this year. At worst, I see him finishing as the running back 13 where he's being drafted right now.
I mean, you traded for him in a couple of plays. Oh, you didn't trade for him today, but you're making a lot of trades out there today. But yeah. Why Gibson in particular? Are you buying into that hype that he is going to have that CMC-like role, or is it just what you saw last year that he can build off of?
Yeah, it's more what I saw last year. I don't think anybody's going to mimic what CMC did in Carolina under Ron Rivera. But, I mean, you're talking about a back that's 6'2", you know, 220 pounds. He's a big guy, and he had 36 receptions last year for 247 yards. And he only carried the ball 170 times for 795 and 11 touchdowns. And that was in like a committee type role in Washington last year. And I think that completely changes this year. I think he takes over the entire backfield.
Okay. And there's nothing J.D. McKissick doesn't bother the, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick maybe throwing the ball a little bit more, helping out Coach Tom's player there at all, no?
I mean, that's the one, like, if there was a downside to him other than injuries, it would be them still staying in the committee. But I think Gibson's just been too good, and he's seen it in the preseason, him breaking off, you know, big chunks of yardages. that. I think he's just going to keep that role as a starter.
Okay. Like I said, I'm a big fan of Gibson, too, so I get why you like him this year and why you're going out to get him in a lot of drafts. So I like that a lot there. But unfortunately, no one else is here at the moment. So we're going to get you going on the bottom eight round guy that you're trying to draft this year.
All right. This guy I've been grabbing anywhere I can, anywhere that Alex doesn't take him, is Baltimore Ravens running back Gus Edwards. I mean, I know Dobbins is there, and I know Lamar Jackson rushes, but if they stay with an even timeshare there in the backfield, Gus Edwards' career yards per carry is 5.2. When you just watch him run, he does not get stopped at the line of scrimmage. He just goes forward. And I think he'll get more goal line carries than Dobbins does throughout the season. And he could end up being a flex start most weeks.
It'll be last year's Kareem Hunt.
Yep. Especially if Dobbins goes down.
Are you taking him over the Bills running backs?
Yes.
Okay. Are you taking him over other elite handcoffs like Tony Pollard?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me see if I can get another guy here. I'm off the top of my head. You take him over James Conner?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And you think he's going to see enough work to make him a flex option, or is it more of a bi-week replacement?
Yeah, more of a bi-week. Depending on how the timeshare splits up, he could end up being a flex option in deeper leagues. But I think he's just somebody you see how much time he's going to get the backfield week one and go from there.
Okay. I like that there. I didn't get to switch your thing because I'm trying to do the background work. Sometimes being the host, there's a lot of background stuff going on here. So I apologize about that. But we do have another coach on the show right now. It's Coach Justin, but another Coach Justin. We do have multiple. We have actually three Coach Justins on our fantasy coaches. So let's see if we can get Coach Justin in here. I don't see his picture, but Coach Justin, can you hear me? Maybe if I unmute him. Nope, won't let me unmute him. Oh, I think he's coming in again. Let's see here.
I think he's having some issues.
He might have some Wi-Fi issues possibly, or just connection issues here. So we might not be able to get him in on the show, though. We'll give him another second, see if he can kind of move his way in. But I'll mention his picks here. And I'll let him hopefully can come in and kind of talk about them. You know, Coach Justin, his picks here were CeeDee Lamb in the top eight round guy here, and his bottom eight round guy was Kenneth Gainwell. Obviously, CeeDee Lamb is a tremendous talent. He's got COVID right now, though, so that's a big thing. So keep that in mind. Oh, he's been in contact with COVID. I'm sorry, not actually have COVID. He's been in contact, so it's something to keep your eye on there. It should not really affect him going into the season. He should be a guy that's sitting on a top-tier offense here with a guy like Dak Prescott. So Kenneth Gainwell is his other guy, obviously. Again, a guy who went to Memphis and racked up a lot of yards in Memphis there. Again, you saw him in the preseason so far kind of take those receptions, especially this past game here, and kind of be very involved in this Eagles offense. Miles Sanders having issues catching and holding on to the ball. Clearly, the coaching staff isn't completely tied to him at this moment here, so that could lead up to him kind of maybe seeing a bigger role in this offense, because I think he is more talented than a guy like Boston Scott. So we'll see if he's able to take that next step. And you get him in that late round, and hopefully he's a ticket to help you win your championship this coming season here. So,
no.
Well, guys, it's unfortunate. Maybe we get him in before we close up the show here. But we're ending the show here, guys. You know, we got everyone we could get in here now. Hopefully Coach Justin can kind of make himself kind of reappear here, hopefully. But I'm going to let you guys all kind of sound off. If you want to mention anything, if you want to mention someone we just mentioned, if you like someone's player, if you did not like somebody's player, I'll let you guys kind of hand the floor here. So Coach Dylan, my friend, you're up, my friend. And is there anything you want to mention before we sign off?
Yeah, I was just going to go back to the Antonio Gibson pick. I read a report, I can't remember who it was by, saying that last year Washington was possibly just letting Gibson learn how to be a running back. He already knew how to be a wide receiver. So that was the reason why they didn't use him a whole lot in the passing game. So hopefully this year that means that he will get a big bump in the passing game and be a little bit more Christian McCaffrey-esque. He's not obviously going to be him, but if the report's true, he should get a big increase. So,
all right. Well said, Coach Dylan. Well said, my friend. All right. Coach Rob, my friend, any last final words here?
Just a couple things real quick. Mecole Hardman, I think he ostensibly was drafted to replace Tyreek Hill when Tyreek Hill, we all thought he was going to be suspended. So I haven't seen any reason willingness to move Hardman around in formation to try to get him opportunities. So I don't know what his upside looks like, even without a whole lot of other options there. Love the St. Brown call. I think that was Coach Tom. He's going to step onto the field as wide receiver one in Detroit. Outstanding call. And Coach Shibbs, the Russell Gage call. He had over 7 receptions last year with Ridley and Jones. So I think that's a great call. I think he's going to be a very solid wide receiver 2-3. So good job, guys.
All right. Appreciate that, Coach Rob. Thank you so much. Coach Tom, my friend, you're on the clock.
I loved the Tyler Boyd pick. I don't know how people are fading him. He was like a top 15 wide receiver before Joe Burrow got hurt. There's no way you dump him down to like wide receiver 87 after that. The one I didn't agree with, I got to go Mecole Hardman. I won't touch him unless it's in a best ball. Because then you have because maybe 4 weeks out of the year, he'll give you the points you need to win a best ball league. Rest of the time, I'm fading him to the point of virtual invisibility.
All right. I love it there. We have to get Coach Justin back in here to defend his Mecole Hardman take because he's getting some heat right now. So I know he's got some going on right now, but I will let him know that he needs to come and defend himself there on the Mecole Hardman take. So
Hardman was peppered with targets this last preseason game, though. Do you think that continues whenever Hill gets on the field or?
Yeah.
No.
Probably not to the extent. He's a guy who's probably going to see 5 or 6 targets a game. And hopefully he can do something really well with those targets if he can get up to those amount of targets per game. So, again, it's possible. I mean, it just maybe we need to see the veteran present disappear for Mecole Hardman to take the next step. Maybe Coach Justin can give us some more insight on that at another podcast. So, all right, Coach Tom, thank you so much. Coach Brandon, my friend, final words.
I'm drawing a blank. Oh, Mecole Hardman. Yeah. He had 4 targets on the first drive or in 1 drive for the Chiefs, and he caught 2 of those for I think it was like 19 yards. Mahomes was targeting him, but there really wasn't anybody else out there. After last year, I was really high on him in the preseason, and then I saw his usage week 1, and I was like, all right, that's it. I cooled way off on him. It was not what I wanted to see. He's just somebody I'm staying away from. And Tyler Boyd, love him. Absolutely love him in the offense. Chase has dropped. Jamar Chase coming out of school, I was worried about how he was going to get off the line, how he's going to separate off the line. I was not worried about his hands. Now they've come into question a little bit. But Tyler Boyd is going to catch so many balls this year. I really like him as a wide receiver too.
All right. I like it. We really need to get Coach Justin back on because you guys are all taking a shot at him right now, man. I'm going to tell him afterwards you guys all taking shots at him. But, poor Coach Justin, wherever you are right now, my friend. So, thank you, Coach Brandon and Coach Jibbs, my friend. Anything you want to mention?
I'm going to step in for Justin, man. You can't just be just slandering my guy after he's just gotten off the podcast, guys. It is what it is. Like, we know what's going on with the Chiefs offense. It's basically Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. After that, like, the third best guy is probably going to get you 16 games, 70 catches. Like, and that's pretty much bad because it's going to be a boom or bust philosophy. But
like, it's looking optimistic. I'm not saying, like, this guy is going to be, like, the next thing. But, like, I think he's in a better position for him to be a more consistent or just be a fantasy player that's on the radar rather than a guy that we're just highlighting as a waiver wire because of Tyree tweaked his hamstring and they're taking a precautionary thing or something like that. But this year it's going to be him. It's going to be Byron Pringle, and we'll see who dukes it out. But, like, I think DeMarcus Robinson is probably going to take a nice little seat back, and we'll see where they're there. But Sammy Watkins definitely left 60 targets, so 60, 50 targets, so they could divvy it up some way.
All right. Coach Jibbs stepping in for Coach Justin there. Love it. Showing some love. And, guys, I'll finish things off. You know, you guys all did – yeah, I love all your guys' takes there. Fantastic job, guys. You know, some of the guys who've been on, some new guys who've been on for the first time. You guys did all fantastic. Loved all your guys' players. Like I said, this is what we do on the coaches. We give you guys some great insight. We're trying to give you guys our players that we love, that we're all looking to draft this year to help you in your championship. That's all we're here for to do. So some things to wrap up here. As always, guys, please check out our website at www.thefantasycoaches.com, shown below on our screen here. All four of these guys here write for us. They've all written some articles that they're fantastic. Some recent ones. I know Coach Dillon did one on the Detroit Lions, and you shouldn't be sleeping on them. Coach Tom will have one coming out tomorrow morning or maybe later tonight. Let's see if I get it posted here. I'm a busy man sometimes, but he's got an article coming out you want to check out as well. By the time you listen to it, it will probably be out already. So check out for that. As always, we have our rankings sitting up there. If you got to check out our charity ball, we did a really great job on that. I mean, you know, we raised close to $300 for the Humane Society. So we're going to be donating that money later on this week here. Hopefully next year we can shoot for more and have a bigger and better potathon overall. So we thank you guys for tuning into that. Obviously, we thank you guys for tuning in for today. There's some cool things coming down the pipeline, guys. We have some more episodes. There's going to be a Dynasty episode featuring Coach Brandon and Coach Dillon, hopefully this fall here. We're going to have some more episodes that a lot of the guys here can jump on, and they're going to be able to see their faces and have them talk fantasy with you. And just stay tuned, guys. The fantasy coaches, don't sleep on us. We're looking to help make you guys fantasy champions and win you guys your league. So thank you guys all for listening. Tune in until next time, guys. And have a great one.
The bag is not far-fetched. We got a couple of Clark Kents. I've been feeling super duper. How the heck they know the future? Come with me, don't be a loser. Grass is green like Koopa Scoopers. Clueless analysts don't do the half of this. In fact, I'm backing this by asking if y'all remember that tough act into acting. Like boom, running like zoom. The highest and mightiest entered the room. High off the knowledge, I'm feeling the fumes. All players cover this, nuts as legumes. Opponents are doomed, and these are the facts. I keep it 100. Like I'm running track. Listen up, Jack, I'ma head back. Back to the blowing that, blowing that, blowing that. Go.